Our First Communion children have spent years now going to Mass every Sunday and Holy Day of Obligation, right? And learning about their faith, right? And it's an inexhaustible treasure trove of riches, right? And the more that we try to take all of those beautiful riches out of the treasure house of our faith, the more that there are, right? It is incredible. And so they've been learning about their faith, and they've been learning to ask questions and learning to answer questions about our faith, right? So remember the test that you took? So you guys did so amazing, right? You know, we were asking you questions to make sure that you knew all the important things about our faith, right? And it was awesome. Questions about baptism, questions about the sacraments, questions about Jesus, questions about the things that we see at Mass. And so now I'm going to ask you a question that you haven't studied yet. Are you ready for the challenge? Okay, fantastic. Here's my question for you this morning. What does fire do? Tell me things that fire does or can do. Yes. It can burn stuff. Yep. Okay, it can burn buildings, right? So, yeah. So, Okay, it could give us light, right? So, okay, good. So, gentlemen, what do y'all got for me? Yep. It can warm things up, right? It can make it hot, right? Sometimes a little warm and sometimes very warm, right? Yep, what else? Destroys things, right? What is it? Okay, fire is something that moves, right? It moves with the wind, right? And so it can kind of get away from us if we're not careful, right? Yep, what else? Okay, so warms people, yep. It what? Okay, I gotta come closer. Here we go. It cooks things, that's right. Okay, awesome, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. It cooks things, yeah. One last thing, yep, It's a sign of the creative work of God, right? Because God created it, and it can do lots of good and amazing things, right? Firepower, right? So this is amazing. Think about how cool that is. You thought of all kinds of different things that fire can do. But the fire itself is kind of the same, right? You know, is the fire that is atop the candlesticks any different than the fire in your fireplace on a cold winter night? So it's the same thing, right? But what you're made of makes the difference as to what fire is going to do, right? So you'll see the candles, the fire melts the wax, right? And gives light. Fire, you know, when it touches something combustible, boom, right? And destroys it. So it depends on what you're made of as to what the fire does, right? Now, let's think about what you're about to do in a few minutes, right? In a few minutes, bread and wine are going to be brought to the altar in procession, right? And we're going to put them on the altar, right? Now, is that the same bread and wine that I have at home? No, right? So the chalice that we drink the blood of Christ out of, do I go home and drink Coca-Cola out of that? No, right? It's set apart only for the worship of God, right? And we always give only the best things for the worship of God, right? So that bread and wine is going to be brought in procession, laid on an altar of sacrifice. And then we have these words of our Lord, "This is my body, this is my blood," that are said over bread and wine. And this beautiful miracle comes where it changes the bread and the wine into the body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ. But does it still look like bread? Does it still taste like wine? Right? And I know that you've been practicing, right? And at first it's a little strange, isn't it? Right? Because it might not be something that you're used to, that taste and that texture and that feel, right? But I want you to think about this. That body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ, right, is truly God and truly man, right? It is Jesus. But its effect on us is going to be different depending on how open our heart is to receive, right? So I've got a question for you. Okay, let's say that I'm at Mass and I don't really feel very well. Okay, I don't really feel very well. And I just kind of keel over at Mass, right? Okay, that would be a horrible thing to happen, right? So hopefully that won't happen ever. But if it happens, and then I say, I'm going to Jesus now, and I'm out, okay? So could you say, maybe Father's really hungry, right? So I'm gonna get some oatmeal and stir it up, and okay, open wide, but I'm dead. Is it gonna do me any good? No. So, because I'm not on this world anymore, right? I can't get any nourishment from that food, right? You're like, well, I don't know, maybe you need some water, right? Squirt, squirt, squirt. Okay, is it gonna do anything? No, because I'm dead, right? A soul that has chosen to disobey God in mortal sin, right, is dead, right? So if they come to Holy Communion, they can receive the body and blood of Christ, but does it do anything for them? No. Now, is that the end of the story? No, because Jesus gives us the sacrament of his mercy where we come alive again, right? And when we come alive again, living beings need nourishment, right? They need strength. And so God wants to give us that nourishment and that strength by which we come alive, even if we've disobeyed him and gone to confession, received the gift of his reconciliation, and come alive again, right? But I want you to think about this, okay? There were two very famous people in the history of the world. There's lots more than two, but two that I'm going to mention today, who said the day of their first Holy Communion was the most important day of their lives, right? One was Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, right? And she said, the day of my first Holy Communion was like the first kiss of Jesus, right? What a tremendously beautiful gift. She knew what was happening, right? She was engaged, and she was so excited to receive her first communion. And so she kept receiving Holy Communion over and over again and wanted to draw as close to the Lord as possible, right? Now, there was another person who received his first Holy Communion as well. You may not have heard of and know too much about him, but I know our parents do. Napoleon, right? Napoleon said the most important day was not his coronation as emperor, but was as the day of his first communion. But what did he do with the grace of his first communion? He was like, oh yeah, Jesus is cool and all that, but you know, I'd rather, you know, be at the head of commanding armies and take over everything in sight and treat people badly who don't agree with me and my lust for power and domination. Was he faithful to the grace of his first communion? Yeah, not so much, right? The body and blood of Christ was the same, right? But St. Therese's heart was open to everything that God had in store, right? And she said, I will spend my heaven doing good on earth, right? Napoleon goes to the Pope and they were going to crown him the emperor, and he's like, I got this, I'll take it myself, right? Are we supposed to take the gifts of God like we deserve them? No, right? We accept them as a beautiful gift. And when we have that kind of attitude of openness and receptivity, being able to receive the gifts of God, and humility, then wonderful and amazing things can happen, right? And you know, God could have chosen any number of ways to get close to us, right? Now, I know that some of you know the answer to this question. There might be several answers to this question, so we'll see, because I've said this before and some of you have been here, but my favorite food as a kid, what was it? So, what was it? Okay, yes, so thank you, Ms. Gavin. So, was French fries, right? Okay, did you know that? Now, I've never met a cookie I didn't like either, but French fries, that's my kryptonite, okay? So, those French fries, when I was little, I would eat every French fry in sight, okay? I could never get enough. And so my mother said, Chris, you're gonna become a French fry one day if you keep on with that, right? Okay. Now, that's the interesting thing about food, right? You know, food is brought into us and it breaks down, right? And so that we can become more who we are, right? And so that's why it's very important for us to always have healthy food in our bodies, that we take into the senses good, true, and beautiful things, because if we begin to bring in junk, right, then junk kind of comes out of us too, right? And that's not a good thing, right? And so Jesus wants to us to become the love that we receive, right? Now I want you to think about that. Okay, so if I came up to you, right, and I said, okay, this is my body, okay, here's my finger. Okay, just munch on that for a while. Okay, num, 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 num. Not so tasty, is it? Yeah. Or if I said, okay, let me rip off a toenail. Okay, here you go. Yeah, that face is perfect, right? So we would be horrified, right? So does Jesus want us to be scared of him? No. Now, have you ever seen a loaf of bread in the bread box at home and gone, ah, I'm so scared, right? I've never done that. Have you done that? Of course not, right? So he chooses those things which are almost invisible and so common and daily and ordinary that give joy to the heart in a normal part of existence, so that when we receive them, then because their inner nature, what it really is on the inside, has been changed, then we become the love that we receive in the Eucharist, right? Now, today is a wonderful and amazing day. You guys look like $1 million, right? And even more importantly than the outside is the inside, because your hearts are so open right now, right? And I want you to always, always, always stay close to Jesus, right? Because you're always invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And what we're doing right now is drawing back the veil just a little bit to what heaven will be like, right? To all of the joys of heaven, right? Now, sometimes, though, as we get older, right, we begin to get distracted, right? We begin to get distracted by other things. We begin to get distracted by all of our work and our family and our play and our friends and sports and these things, right? And so sometimes we begin to become forgetful, right? We begin to become forgetful of God, right? And so God calls us back, right? Calls each one of us back. Right? So my adults who are here today, okay, I want you to look at these kids, right? Isn't this a great occasion? It's really awesome, isn't it? So this is a day that they're going to remember for the rest of your lives. You're going to remember for the rest of your lives, right? But I've got a question for you. Are you Saint Therese of Lisieux or Napoleon? Be honest with yourselves, right? So what are you doing with the grace of your first Holy Communion? Are you continuing to be open to the love of God, right? Are you coming to receive in humility and faith and devotion and joy, to receive the presence of the living God so that you can go outside and share the fruit of that encounter with Christ with the world? Or are you more worried about things that are going to pass away, right? You're made not for comfort, but for greatness. And that greatness comes in the form of a little host and a chalice filled with wine that become the blood of Christ. Okay? So today, I want us to rejoice that we have the first of so many wonderful and beautiful communions. when you come up here, this is the place where earth meets heaven. Right? Those of you who are properly disposed to receive Holy Communion, come to the place where earth meets heaven. And if you're not ready for that, that's okay, because God invites you to become alive again, right? To put aside worldly things that are destined to pass, so that you can become the love that you receive by receiving the food of immortality.